is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly deep dive into issues and topics and data regarding COVID-19 with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
So yesterday, when I took a look at the local report, one new positive, one new presumptive. How long has it been since we've had numbers like that?
Well, we had numbers low like that around the Christmas week, but that was sort of a funny week, and then not before that until October. So it's been a long time since we've had numbers this good.
And in fact, honestly, I did a double take to make sure I wasn't misreading it to see that low a number. Now, the new numbers are out. A higher number, though, for today?
A little bit higher today. So we're going to see the numbers bounce up and down. Typically, what happens is when there's a workplace outbreak, a number of people get tested in a single day. And then those reports come out back to us on the same day.
Now, for the county risk level, people that are tracking that closely, the state announcement tomorrow makes it official. But where's Douglas County going to be at?
So I just looked at the numbers. Say we just are a smidge over the moderate. So we're likely to stay in that same high range that we've been for the last 2 weeks.
And it appears that we got, though, much closer to getting back to moderate than we have, since we've been in high.
Yeah, we were within 10 cases of being down in the moderate. And certainly the trend over the last week in Douglas County has been good, although the trend throughout the rest of the state is a bit worrisome.
And for our downward trend in this area, I guess it kind of feels like, we've been going down, but we've been seeing those numbers in the state go up. And indeed, a lot of counties, Multnomah in particular, seem to be having a definite upward trend.
Yeah, especially the Multnomah, the Tri-County area has been an upward trend. Lane County, which a few weeks ago was having about the same number of cases, is now having over 70 a day. And Josephine, Jackson, and Klamath counties, so both to our north and to our south, are really struggling with the disease.
Is this kind of like a roller coaster that, I mean, ultimately it's moving in the right direction, but there's sure a lot of ups and downs?
Well, roller coasters are generally fun. There's been not much fun associated with this. But yes, in terms of the number of cases, we've been up and down. And some of the reasons up or down is we tend to go up while we have large outbreaks, where we have a large workplace outbreak or a large church outbreak. Those are the times we start to see a swelling of cases. And thank goodness right now we're only dealing with one or two moderate-sized workplace outbreaks, and our church outbreaks and some of our school outbreaks have all passed.
So let's take a look nationally. Where are the cases rising?
Well, nationally, we're still very concerned with Michigan, Minnesota, the Texas Panhandle, Florida, and New York and New Jersey. So all very different and disparate places, but they're all seeing levels of disease similar to what we had over the holidays during that big high time.
And any particular indication as to why those states are more affected right now?
Yes. Those areas all have a high number of variants. In Michigan, it's the B.1.1.7 variant. And that seems to be the most difficult variant because it spreads very quickly, about 50 to 90% more contagious than the previous forms. There's some suggestion that it may also be more deadly, but it clearly spreads faster. So the typical measures that we've been using don't seem to be able to control it. Now, the good news is the vaccine does seem to work for this variant, but there's still many of the people in all of those areas who've not been vaccinated.
Now, looking around the world, I was just looking around a bit before we went on the air here at noon. Talk about countries that are doing the best right now, but also those that are faring the worst.
Well, the countries that are doing the best right now are still the Pacific countries. So New Zealand, Taiwan, Australia, South Korea are all doing a great job. They'll have very, very low number of cases. If we were at the number of cases that each of those areas are, we would be able to pretty much get rid of any restrictions. So those are the countries that are doing the best. The countries that are doing the worst are some countries in Europe. So Poland, Turkey, and Sweden are really struggling. There are 60, 70 cases per 100,000 per day. And then also we're seeing troubles with South America. So we're seeing issues in Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina. And those places have been hot for many, many, many weeks now, and that's a concern. We're also worried that we're seeing an increasing number of cases in India, not because the number of cases per 100,000 is so high, but there are so many people in India, and it's so tightly packed that we worry that India could be really an area of concern.
And I believe that India, or part of India, was the country that, or a region thereof, that was going into like a week-long lockdown.
Right. So what happens in other countries when they start to see this surge, they'll move to a lockdown, and there's a real concern that this disease could widely spread, so they're instituting that. Unfortunately, in our country, when we're seeing this big surge in Minnesota and Michigan, there's not been the public will to go ahead and do a lockdown.
So as we look around Oregon and Douglas County, talk about the new eligibility to be vaccinated, to receive the vaccine.
Well, as of today, everybody who's 16 and above can get the vaccine. So there's no more rules or complicated sequencing. If you're over 16, you can get any of the vaccines. If you're over 18, you can get the Moderna vaccine.
And for Douglas County, is there any mass vaccination clinic on the way soon?
There are several. So we're going to have a big event this weekend at the fairgrounds. That's going to be using all Pfizer vaccine. We're going to start at 9 a.m. and go until we're done. And we're going to try and get well over 1,000 people vaccinated again. Sign up is, as we've done before, on the Eventbrite, or people can sign up by telephone, although the Eventbrite is so easy that we're asking people to give that a try first. We're going to publish these tomorrow.
All right, that was my next question. So for people that would like to take advantage of that, tomorrow begins their opportunity. And I know that in Douglas County, these mass vaccination events seem to have gone really well.
They've gone very, very nicely. We've had so many partners in the community who have helped us with these. And as you know, we've done these over the years, so we're getting pretty darn good at them. The other thing we're doing is we have our little tiger team, and they're going out to some of the more rural areas. They're going to be out at Tokenee, Camas, 10 Mile, Milo, Riddle. They're going to be all over the county getting those small places where there's not otherwise vaccine providers.
So let's spend a few minutes talking about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It's on pause. We're hearing different things about where it might be or when it might be unpaused. But talk about how they study this and decide what to do.
So the decisions whether to pause or unpause are made by the ACIP, which is this group of independent people who look at the data, and they'll make a decision on what to do. They're going to meet again later this week, and they're going to make a decision on where we go from here. I think most likely there are going to be one of three decisions. I don't know which one they're going to choose. They could say that these side effects are really rare and we should continue with the use of the vaccine. They might say, well, these, although they're rare, they're there, and there are other vaccines out there, so let's stop using the vaccine. Or I think probably most likely is that they'll say is that this side effect is rare and is not seen in people who are 50 and above. So perhaps we would give this vaccine to people 50 and above. And for people below 50, we'd use one of the other vaccines. I think any of those could be totally supported. And other countries in the world have decided similarly when faced with the AstraZeneca vaccine.
So do you think that the pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has slowed the overall vaccine rollout and caused more concern?
Absolutely. So we know in overnight polling after the J&J was paused that the amount of vaccine hesitancy definitely increased.
And let's talk about that vaccine hesitancy, because it seems like while we have a quarter of Oregonians who've been fully vaccinated at this point, there are a lot of people that have some deeply rooted concern or opposition to getting vaccinated this time around.
Indeed. So when we do any vaccinations, we have people who are vaccine hesitant, but this has brought it really into the fore. So we know that somewhere between a quarter and a half of any group of people are going to not want the vaccine, some because they're nervous, some because they want others to go first, some because they just deeply don't believe in vaccines. And so that's going to be an issue, because if we only get 50% of our population vaccinated, and that would be twice what we have now, if we get 50% of the population vaccinated, we're going to continue to see cases. Maybe not the 20 or 30 cases a day like we're seeing before, but the 2 to 10 cases a day that we've been seeing in the last month.
So for people that are hesitant, what kinds of things would you say about your view towards the safety of this vaccine?
Well, I really want to know why people are hesitant. There are half a dozen different reasons that people are hesitant, and I think we can answer them. So, for example, one of them is that, well, this is a new vaccine, hasn't been used on very many people, and I want to wait until we have good data. Well, we have really good data. Over 100 million people have gotten this vaccine, these vaccines, so we have really, really good data on that. So that's how I would answer that. But depending upon what people's concerns are, sometimes there's nothing you can say that would change their minds, and sometimes more information will work.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us, looking at things related to the COVID-19 issue. You talked at the front end of our segment about cases in Oregon going up again overall, particularly in the Tri-County area. Are you able to tell what is leading to some of the spikes? Is it workplaces? What are you seeing?
So we're seeing throughout the rest of the state, workplaces are clearly an area of spread. The other area of spread is from the spring break. So students went away on spring break and then came back, and we saw a huge increase in Lane County after the students returned. So some of it is travel, some of it is workplace outbreaks.
Now in Douglas County, where are the most cases coming from?
Again, it's workplaces. So what we're seeing is that people go to work while they're a little bit sick, that people are not taking lots of precautions at work. They're gathering at work for meals or gathering at breaks or gathering at closing time. And this is where we're seeing the most spread.
Now, one day last week, the Daily Update addressed churches and cases. Talk more about that, maybe the positives and negatives you've seen.
So churches are a problem, and not just Douglas County, but everywhere. Churches have been a place where this disease has spread. So very early on in Korea and in France, there were two very large outbreaks associated with churches. And remember in Oregon that our first large outbreak in the La Grande area was associated with the church. And this is not surprising. Churches are areas where people from large geographic areas gather for a long enough time that they can spread the disease. Most of the services are indoors, and frequently services are associated with hugging or chanting or singing, all things that we think can go ahead and spread the disease. And so we've been concerned about churches, but at the same time, we recognize in our country and in our society how important churches are. And so where we're trying to work with churches is to go ahead and make their service, continue to have their services, but to make them as safe as possible. And what we've seen is that some churches have really taken this to heart and they've had no cases. And so we would like all of the churches in the area to follow their good example.
As you go through this pandemic, I remember back at the beginning of things, you talked about things shifting along the way. What kinds of new things have you been learning, or how has this virus been evolving?
So So the variants of the virus is probably the most interesting thing at this point. So what happens is this virus changes slowly over time, like all RNA viruses do. Most of the changes are going to be nonsense changes and won't make any difference. Some will make the virus less effective and they won't spread, but then some make the virus more effective and they will spread. So, for example, we had talked early on about the D614G change. And so what that says is that the 614th amino acid, it changed one amino acid. And when it did that, it made the spike protein a stronger spike protein. So in the past, we said, imagine a perforated piece of paper or a stick that was scored, it would be much more easy to break at that area. Well, with that D614G, it changes so that it was stronger. Now in the world, every virus that circulates has that D614 mutation because it was better than the previous. Then what we're seeing now is the B117, which is the UK variant, which seems to spread 50 to 90% more than the previous. And in many places in the world, that variant is taking over quickly. So in Michigan and in Minnesota and New York, where we're very worried about the spreads, this variant is quickly overtaking.
The vaccines, you've said, though, are dealing with the variant reasonably well. Is that right?
So that variant, the B117, the vaccine seems to work very nicely for. The other variants, the 351 and the P1, the vaccine's a little less effective, but for the current variants, the B117, the vaccine seems to work great. And that's the reason we want people to get vaccinated now before the B117 widely arrives in Oregon.
So for these variants, is it possible to adjust the recipe, if you will, of the vaccine to address the variants?
Yes. So both Moderna and Pfizer and maybe the other companies are working towards a booster vaccine that would include not only the original virus, but would include the variants, so it would give us protection. The problem is that the variants spread very quickly. So when you look B117, when it gets into an area, it spreads over the space of 3 weeks. The problem is it's going to take at least 3 months and more like a year to come up with a vaccine for the variants. So that is not a great strategy to wait for the booster. The best strategy is to get vaccinated now so that B117 cannot circulate in our area.
I don't remember which one, but I know one of the vaccines, if I am remembering this correctly, the folks have said that a booster within a year, I believe that was the timeline, was going to be likely. How likely do you think that is for all of them?
I think it's very likely that we're going to need a booster to this. On most respiratory viruses, our immunity wanes after a year or two, but I don't know when it would be. Maybe a year from now, maybe 5 years from now. And while that's important, the most important thing is get as many people vaccinated within the next 3 or 4 weeks as we can.
And again, that local clinic on the weekend and information coming out about that tomorrow. How is the county doing in terms of the contact tracing and helping people that are in isolation or quarantine?
Well, we continue to do a good job with the lower number of cases. It obviously makes it much easier. And so we've been able to go ahead and do very effective contact tracing. And I will tell you that most of the cases we find now are tied either through a household or work to one of the previous cases we knew about. So we're getting close to snuffing this out as long as we don't start to see a lot of the variants come up, because we've used a fire analogy in the past, and what we're doing now is we're mopping up the flames. We're hoping that we don't have hot, dry weather.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listen. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.